Also for two reasons to see the church decorated. Firstly, because it's absolutely beautiful, and secondly, because I had nothing to do with it. And other people had to sweat and labour this week, and I'm eternally grateful for them doing that. So well done again to the whole team, to Jill and her whole team who helped to make this happen this week, and to Joan Smith and her team as well, who worked really hard. So it's been lovely to see that. And Advent is this time where we get time to pause, theoretically at least, and to reflect and to consider Christ's arrival, both in his birth and in the incarnation. And also we look ahead as Christians to the second coming, when Jesus will return to fully establish his kingdom of peace and justice in the new creation. And that is a great source of hope for us to look forward to, because that is when all the wrongs will be righted. And there'll be no more pain and no more suffering and no more death. And we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore through the cross of Christ. So it's a great thing to look forward to. And Advent is a time for reflection and prayer. It's a time when we get our homes ready for Christmas coming. And it's a time when we might want to be thinking about doing good deeds and being generous to others. And in that spirit, I want to highlight to you just the Advent appeal. Now, I believe we're going to be given these flyers on the way out the door today, but this is a flyer for the Advent appeal, which is going to run for the next 3 weeks here at Bangor Parish, and there's an opportunity to donate to this. And the appeal is focusing on two specific areas. It's focusing on the work of Pantry within Harbour, and we're going to devote some of the giving that comes in towards supporting that ministry and allowing it to grow, and allowing the whole of Harbour really to dream dreams and to move forward. And we're also looking at and focusing the giving on supporting the ministry of CAP. And CAP in Bangor has been historically based at the Primacy Christ Church sort of centre, but there's a few changes taking place. So I'm delighted to say today that we have Aisleen Johnson with us, who's the CAP Debt Centre Manager. And she's going to share a wee update with us about what's happening with CAP and how things are changing and how we can be involved in that. And we've also got Liz here to speak to us about Pantry. So I'm going to invite Aisleen to come up and tell us a wee bit, and let's give her a round of applause to encourage her.
Thank you so much for welcoming here this morning, and such a delight to come in to see such a beautifully decorated church. Although I have to be honest, I think Denise Wilson, my pastor in Christchurch Primacy, would have complete heart failure if I said we're going to get a drone in and we're going to decorate the church. I think she would just say, no, actually, let's think about that one, step back a bit. So, as I say, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for welcoming me here. As Johnny introduced me, I'm Aisleen Johnson, and I'm the CAP Debt Centre Manager here in Bangor, and I have been in this role for about 4.5 years now. So, Johnny asked me just to come along and give a very brief update. Most of you are aware of the work of CAP. We are a charity that helps people with debt, and certainly looking into the causes of debt and poverty and stuff in people's lives. So, since January there of 2025, we have actually been fully booked. The centre here in Bangor has been fully booked. So that equates to 2 new clients every month, making it about 24 new clients we've seen this year. And we have also been joyfully celebrating 8 of our clients becoming debt-free. Some of those clients have been on the journey for quite some time, and when they've been on a debt management plan, that can be quite a few years. And it's just great to see them free, and actually very empowering for them as clients to see that they actually did it, and that really brings a lot of joy and a lot of hope. I'm going to pop up the next wee slide for me, please. So, as you know, our vision for within CAP, at the heart of CAP, is to see lives transformed. And we believe the best way for us to do that is by partnering with the local church. And the support that you have been given and that you continue to give allows us to be here for people like Courtney. And you're going to see a very short taper down video of Courtney. And Courtney was asked by BBC Northern Ireland to take part in a documentary called My Stammer, My Story. It's still on the iPlayer if you want to watch the full story. But you'll just see something and hear a few things in this video that really, really speaks into the heart of why we love working with people one-to-one and why we want to do what we do. Do you want to pop up that video?
There's nothing I can really... do, like, I have this and I'm gonna have it for the rest of my life. So there's not a time in my life when I remember not having a stammer or being able to speak fluently completely. That's never been a thing. I also don't know anybody in the community who has a stutter. So there's no one I could really speak to about it who really completely got it. It was always going to be there. It was just how my brain is wired, and my brain is not a very good place for me anyway. But I didn't have a great childhood at all, so it was then triggered very, very early for me. So then it's been something I've had to learn how to cope with and deal with for my whole life.
So as you can see there from the video, how difficult it would be for Courtney to even begin to start to contact creditors, contact people who over the phone, even the thoughts of making those kind of phone calls just create such a barrier for Courtney. She wouldn't have been able to access the sort of support that she needed. So Courtney's story is one of many who come and contact us from Help, and each with a very unique set of circumstances and difficulties, whose lives have just been impacted through circumstances normally beyond their control. And as if you heard in the video there, Courtney referred to her brain not being a very good place to live in. And for many people with difficulties with their mental health, the thoughts of trying to navigate their way out of debt would be another barrier, and it would just be too overwhelming. They just would not be able to do it. So there's just been such a wonderful transformation in Courtney's life over the year, and that's what our hope is to look at the whole person, and through being able to do what we do one-to-one and given that sort of unique service that we give, Courtney is now on a course with the King's Trust. Through CAP we were able to make a referral. She's now working with the King's Trust that offer support for young people rebuilding their lives and getting back into the workplace and wanting to actually go on to university to study to become a social worker. So when I rang her, you know, last week, she said, "I can't believe the difference in my life in a year." You know, whereas last year I was sitting with the curtains closed and I didn't even want to answer the phone, and now the King's Trust have me up walking the morns. So it's just complete transformation, and that's what we love to hear. So I hope this story that I shared with you is not only an encouragement but a reminder how working together the difference we can make, and really what we're doing is we're ultimately showing the gospel to others in a very, very practical way. And recently I've been able to work alongside the guys from the pantry in the harbour to refer CAP clients in to help and support with the pantry and the clothing bank there, which can make a huge difference when you're really struggling on a very particularly tight budget or trying to use money to pay back debt. So I'm also planning next year to maybe run a bit of a trial, a 45-minute sort of money course, just to help with budgeting skills. Nothing too heavy, but just to start getting people to have conversations about money management and better ways and tools and techniques, because we have lost an awful lot of those skills in our society. So we're looking at that and looking at working with the people in the pantry and seeing what they want, what they need, and what would be beneficial for them. So it's a bit of a trial, and we're looking towards doing that as well. And over the past years, Johnny referred to at the beginning there, we have been having to explore ways in which the service that we provide can be more sustainable. It does take about £22,000 to £25,000 per year to keep the local CAP centre running. And this has began with discussions. We talked about the Carol Service, the Light of the World. That's the Mission Bangor Churches, City Churches in Bangor. And they allowed us very kindly to come and speak at one of their meetings. And we started opening up conversations and exploring ways and how we can do that. And one of the ways that we have been looking at is modelling. Oh, sorry, that's me telling me I'm talking too long. Sorry, I'll be quick. And really, one of the ways that we're doing that is modelling what the Link have done with our CAP Centre, and it's 12 churches and ARDS came together and said that they would agree to be part of the team there and support financially and in many other ways given to the CAP Centre there and allowing that to function. And we're hoping to come on board with the Link next year to try and make that model work, make it so sustainable. And really, I'm delighted that Johnny has said, you know, Bangor Parish are on board, we're behind you, and I am eternally grateful for that, or for all your love and support. I really, really do appreciate it. I just believe that God really has so much planned for CAP and for the city of Bangor, and to see that those more and more lives just being transformed by his love and by his grace. So this is a really exciting opportunity for us to be able to do more and more of that. And if you look at the next wee slide, really that's just a map of where we're covering now, and ours is still being covered in some of the peninsula, but hopefully coming together will make it that we can do more together and serve better the people in this area. So all I can encourage you to do now is continually pray for us, continue to pray for the work of CAP, and say thank you so much to all of you who have supported us throughout the years. Bless you. Thank you.
Aisling, thank you. We are delighted to be supporting this initiative where CAP is going to grow and be supported by a bigger network of churches and reach a bigger area, and that's going to be sustainable into the future. So we're delighted to be part of that and to be part of the board looking after that. So let's pray just briefly before we hear from Liz for the work of CAP. Lord, we thank you that the church has raised up people, Lord, to reach out to those struggling with financial burdens. Lord, dealing with the challenges of cost of living crisis and meeting people in a practical way where they are, to minister hope, to bring practical support and learning to bear on how to manage finances, and also, as we heard Aisling mention, Lord, to share the gospel in gentle, loving ways, to call people to the person of Christ and to see them be fully transformed into his likeness through his grace. So Lord, we pray that you would bless Aisling as she leads, bless her team, those that work with her and help her, of befrienders and visitors. Lord, bless the visits when she sits in people's homes and speaks to them. And Lord, this board that come together and the organization as it develops, would you bless those plans so that the impact of this ministry can deepen and widen and grow for the upbuilding and release of many people, for the blessing of those who are walking in a difficult place, and for the glory of the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to invite Liz to come up now and give us a little update about the second strand of the appeal, which is for a pantry. Thanks, Liz.
I'm also going to use the box, so I feel very high now, very tall. So good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you this morning to talk about Harbour Pantry. For those of you that don't know me, as Johnny says, I'm the pantry coordinator, and I work closely with Karen McConnell, who oversees Harbour, and under the guidance and support of Johnny, our mission and operations coordinator. So we've been on a journey with the pantry since it opened in August 2024, and we're really grateful for God's faithfulness and goodness so far. And as I was thinking about this, what I would say this morning, I was really struggling to kind of hone it down to just a few minutes because there's so much I could tell you. But as I was walking into the pantry on Thursday, these kind of words came together. So it all, and what I thought was that pantry is about place, provision, and people. So we're going to tell you about all of those three things just in a few minutes. So the first slide, you can see you've got a picture of the Dufferin Hall and the pantry. So the pantry takes place in the Dufferin Hall on Hamilton Road. I don't know if you've walked past this building, but often it looks quite closed. But when you see it on a Thursday afternoon, it's very busy and there's a lot going on. And the pantry is set up in one of the downstairs rooms, and it's set up like a small grocer's shop, with a large table of fruit and vegetables in the middle, so it's a really welcoming place to shop. And somebody said to me it was a bit like a nice farm shop to go to, so that was kind of a compliment, I think. The other thing to say is it is a local pantry, and we aim to serve the people in the local community, and so that they can actually visit from near to where they live and be able to to use it and get to know other people who are part of the same community. So the other aspect about place, could we just have the next slide, please, is that the pantry is located within Harbour, which takes place on Thursday afternoons. And the pictures on the slide give you an idea of what it looks like when Harbour is open. So downstairs we have the hospitality area with refreshments. We have a clothes store and the pantry. And then upstairs there's in the big hall there's pickleball and table tennis, which also started as a new initiative last year. And you can spot all the people that might be in the congregation today here in these slides running around and doing things. There's a lot of volunteers that we have who just to make one session operate. So this means that pantry members can do their shopping and stay for tea and coffee. They can visit the clothes store if they wish to. They can have a chat with people and play games. And sometimes that leads to prayerful conversations and for volunteers praying with people about things they might share. And also they can go and play games, either board games downstairs, or they can go upstairs and play pickleball. And it's really been encouraging to see pantry members who've come in, maybe don't know much about Harbour, and then have gradually been using all these other aspects and the other spaces that go on within Harbour, and also developing relationships with each other, who are other visitors. So secondly, I want to mention the provisions. So if we can move on to the next slide, thank you. So the pantry started in August 2024 because Bangor Parish Church felt prompted to offer food support in a different way. So moving away from providing emergency food parcels to setting up a social supermarket so that people could have direct access to food in a planned way. And we decided to partner with Your Local Pantry, which has already run over 120 pantries in the UK. And their model advocates dignity, hope, and choice for members. And the idea being that members can join the pantry and they can contribute to the cost of the food that they're receiving by paying £5 each time they shop. And to run a pantry, you need to have a food supply. So we've been partnering with many different organisations and charities locally. So we have our main partnership is with Storehouse North Down, who've been generously supplying all our long life food, store cupboard food, since we started. We also have a surplus food collection from Sainsbury's each week, and this supplies us with free fruit and vegetables. And we're always grateful for seasonal donations of fruit and veg from church members. And at the minute, we're enjoying lots of cooking apples that people keep bringing in to me each week. And that's, members just love things like that, and they'll tell me sometimes what they've made with the things that they've taken. So shortly after we started, also a CC charity heard about the pantry, and they offered to donate pet food to us. And this enables pantry members with pets to save some money on the pet food each week. And we've also had donations and grants from other charities and businesses, and have really felt and experienced God's provision throughout this project. There's much more I could say about this, but sometimes even there's little things each week. When I go to Lidl or other supermarkets and buy some top-up groceries, sometimes it's just a real encouragement. If I know I need lots of bananas or something, that they're on offer that week. And I think sometimes those little things just encourage you as you go about setting up the pantry for visitors to come each Thursday. So most social supermarkets provide wraparound support services. And in addition to what we offer in Harbour, we have been building relationships with other services and charities in Bangor, such as CAP. So we can signpost our members to specialist advice and help when they need it. And this has led to this recent conversation that Aisling's mentioned to you about CAP offering some direct input into Harbour on a Thursday. And I'm excited that she's going to plan to come into Harbour, because I think having someone there who can come to the people rather than them have to go and go to attend a course will be really good. And I know that from chatting to people, many of our members do face financial challenges. That's why they're using the pantry. And I think we just hope that will be a really useful start in the new year. So we're very thankful to all these partners for what they have provided to help us grow and expand the pantry. Our main support has also been from Bangor Parish Church, both in terms of supplying food when we first opened and by giving financially. And people may remember little dockets where you had to bring in a packet of cereal or some jam or things like that, or coffee last year. We've kind of moved away from that because we found that actually it's easier sometimes to be able to just buy what we need and to it varies week to week how much we need. But that was a really good start to help us stock the shelves with a real variety of food. So I want to say thank you as we launch this appeal for all that you've done already in terms of prayer, practical and financial support. And one of the other practical things with the pantry is sometimes it's just that the works team have been out, cleaned up the area around the Dufferin Hall. They might have painted some of the rooms inside. All of these things contribute to a really nice space for people to come into on a Thursday. So lastly, and most importantly, I want to mention the people involved in the pantry each week. I'm very thankful to all the volunteers, as it is a huge team effort. And we're also thankful to people who collect the food each week, who volunteer in Harbour and Pantry, because each person, whether it's from the welcomer on the door, to the person making tea in the kitchen, to volunteers just having conversations, they come each week to serve and to show God's love in practical ways and through their conversations and their prayers. But the pantry exists for the people who use it and need it. So I want to thank God particularly for each person who's joined the pantry. We have a variety of members from different ages and stages in life, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different stories. And some people come for a time, and some have been using it since it opened and come regularly. And it's a privilege for me to sit down with people when they apply to join and to hear their stories. And then after about 8 weeks, I have a short review conversation with them and find out how it's working for them. And at this point, I usually ask them for their feedback. And it's always encouraging to hear what they like about the pantry and what difference it's making to their lives. The feedback is always positive, and I'm not saying that to blow my own trumpet or to say that, you know, everything is perfect, but it is actually amazing that people are so grateful for what it is providing for them. So as we journey with people, we hope and pray that the experience of using the pantry will go beyond the food and bring transformation to their lives. As a team, we also pray that coming to Harbour and Pantry will be a bridge for people to come to church or to Alpha. So once again, thank you for your prayers and support, and we want to give honour to God for all he's doing through this work. But to finish off this morning, I wanted to give the last word to someone who is a regular visitor to the pantry. And she kindly agreed to do a video a couple of weeks ago. And it's not easy for people to do videos, so we're really grateful to her, because I think hearing from her directly will just give you some experience of what difference the pantry has made to her and her family. So we'll just play that video now. Thank you.
So, Shirley, could you tell us a wee bit about your experience of coming to the pantry, please?
The pantry has been a lifeline for my brother. It allows him to not worry about his weekly food bill. Liz and all the volunteers in here have been so kind and generous to Stephen, and they allow me to come every week because my brother doesn't drive, to get his food, and then I bring it to him in the evening. And I would encourage anybody who is really struggling to come down and talk to a member here at Harbour in Hamilton Road, because honestly they are just so friendly and so nice. You can come in and you can get your food shopping, and then you can go for a cup of tea and coffee, and there's always somebody in there to chat to, and you get to meet some really nice people. You know, I can't thank them enough. And the fruit and veg that you have here available also is just amazing. You know, my brother wouldn't be one to go out and buy himself fruit, but I can get him bananas and oranges, and Liz very kindly tries to get him a grapefruit here for his breakfast. You know, and it is just, really, honestly, I can't thank yous enough for what yous are doing. And please God that it will continue to thrive, because there's so many people that need it. And I really hope and pray that by doing this, that it can reach out to somebody that really, really needs it, and come, and you'll be welcomed with open arms. So please take advantage and come. Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, not advantage, but to come and not be afraid. Just come and speak to somebody, and it's, you know, that they will help. Thank you.
So let's just pray for Pantry before we close out with this and Harbour. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Shirley's testimony and Lord, for the encouragement that it brings to keep going, and to realize, Lord, that the generous support of the church and the prayerful support of the church is making a difference right where people are. And I pray, Lord, that would continue through Harbour, through Pantry, through all of the things that are happening there. Lord, would you lead our steps, guide our steps, so that we would follow your way of reaching out to people, to bless people in Jesus' name, to see people welcomed and loved and invited to walk with you. And Lord, I pray your blessing particularly on the initiative where CAP and Harbour are going to work together for Aisling to come in and to have some really targeted support for those that need it in terms of finances. Lord, would you bless that in a new year and really, really show us something new there and open up something new that might, Lord, run for months and years in terms of helping people practically. And we pray that in your name for your glory. Amen. 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 So it was great to see that, guys. Thank you so much for being with us. I've got a couple of minutes to share a couple of thoughts just from the passage that we read this morning from Isaiah. So in the passage this morning, Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5, it's a picture where Isaiah is seeing this vision of hope given to him by the Lord of a time beyond the judgment and the exile where people from all nations are going to stream to the mountain of the Lord's temple, where the Lord's temple has been established. And the backdrop to it is that chapter 1 is full of a litany of accusations from the Lord about unfaithfulness to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, saying you've deviated from the covenant, you're in big trouble, and basically you're out of here, and there's going to be invasion, and there's going to be exile, and judgment is at your door. And as I read it this week, I was looking at this and looking about this whole chapter of judgment and how these little vignettes of hope appear in the midst of it, about a future hope. And I was thinking, right, okay, so it's swinging from judgment to hope, judgment to hope. And I was kind of considering these two things to be, you know, diametrically opposed, until it kind of occurred to me, actually, judgment and hope are two sides of the one coin. Because without God's judgment, there can be no hope. God must judge sin, and he must make his people aware of their sinfulness in order to draw them to the hope of salvation. Now, we know that's in Jesus Christ. For them back then, he was calling them back to covenant faithfulness. And it was going to happen only at a future time, after the pain and the separation of exile and after the return home. And there's a few things I want to look at just to draw our attention to how this might land for us today. So the verse 4, I think, says that the people would come, many people would come from all the nations and stream towards the mountain of the Lord's temple. And that's a bit like the gospel that I would often share today. Maybe you would do the same, where you have this thing where the gospel just says, you know what, come as you are. Just come as you are. And I love that gospel. And I tell people that gospel. I'm like, just come as you are. You don't have to get it all sorted out. You don't have to clean yourself up. The Lord is making provision and he's drawing you towards himself. Just come as you are, because he loves you. And that's great. And I love that. But actually, Isaiah's passage today shows us that it's a little bit deficient. And we need more to flesh out and to offer people a full gospel, to help them engage. So many peoples will come. Come as you are. But the next thing that comes in the verse in the passage this morning is that the people come and they say this: let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. So it's not just come as you are. It is come as you are, but it's not just come as you are. Because it's come as you are, but get ready to change. Get ready to change. That's an important component of the gospel. Because these people, as Isaiah has shown us, are being invited to come to the mountain of the Lord. There's no qualifier. The Gentiles are included too. but they need to go there to be taught God's way so that they may walk in his paths. So come as you are, but get ready to change. But that's not all of it either. There's one other thing that this passage can teach us this morning in this short time we have. Because we also need to go on being changed. It's not a one-time deal. And this is one of the great dangers of the Christian life, is that we count ourselves to have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus through the cross, not of ourselves, totally by grace through faith, not by works. And we think that's it. And we grow a bit, and then when it gets uncomfortable, we're like, well, you know what? I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty well, you know? But the fact is, actually, we rely on God's grace every single day, and we need to ask him to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit so that we can continue being changed. And this is where it lands back to harbor. Because whenever I ask Karen what she should say, or if she wanted to say anything or share anything with me about what to say today, she said, pray that God's work would continue in the hearts of everyone who comes through the door of Harbour. And I thought that was brilliant. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? The people who come through the door each week to Harbour include the team. And they include those from the church who go there to visit. And the reality is we all need God's grace every day to continue to work in our lives. Because Isaiah shows us this image, and he says there, they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. A nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. But the reality of the Christian life as we look around the church is that that's not happening. We still have conflict. We still disagree. We still make war in our hearts with others, because the kingdom is now, because Christ has died and been raised, but it's not yet, because as Advent reminds us, we're looking ahead to his final consummation. So we need to go on being changed. And we need to be aware that as we meet others and seek to share the gospel, we're not preaching it down to them as if we have it all worked out. We're sharing it across to them because we're as much in need of it as they are. And if we can remember that and hang on to it this Advent season and be thankful to God as we look ahead to his second coming, when he will make all things new, it'll keep us in a right standing, in a proper posture to continue receiving his grace and ministering it to others. Judgment doesn't always feel comfortable. It can be painful, but we should learn to welcome it. And not all pain is to do with judgment. Some of it is to do with this world being broken, and that happens. But when we recognize it as judgment, we should say, thank you, Lord, because he's never condemning us. He's calling us back to a relationship to receive afresh the grace of Jesus Christ. So come as you are, get ready to change, and be prepared to keep on changing. And that's the gospel that brings hope, and that's the gospel that brings transformation. So we're going to invite the band up to pray. And thank you for your time and your patience this morning, Liz and Aisling. Thank you for sharing. And let's just take a moment to pray that the Lord would guide us as we seek to share his gospel of grace, of love, and of his uncompromising truth and rule. Because actually, if you settle for anything less, you're worse off. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a vision in Isaiah of people streaming to the mountain of the Lord in a future time. And we realize, Lord, that's been partly revealed and seen, but we realize that part of it is to come. And in these days, Lord, I pray that you would help us as your church to take that posture of humility, to recognize, Lord, that we need to continue to be a people who are being changed, not just the people who have been changed, and that as we seek to meet and share others, share the gospel with others and to see them blessed, that we would be part of attracting them and pointing them in the way they should go, to learn the ways of the Lord and to walk in his paths. and to be, like it says at the end of this passage, the descendants of Jacob who come and walk in the light of the Lord. Lord, I pray you're blessed on Harbour, on Pantry. I pray you're blessed on the church in this Advent season. And Lord, we look forward to saying afresh, thank you that the King of Heaven came down and laid down his life for us to serve us and to make us new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.